Hola, hola, and welcome to the Cultura en Cash podcast. This is Giovanna Gonzalez, otherwise known as Gigi, or the First Gen Mentor. I'm an influencer, financial educator, speaker, and author of the best-selling book, Cultura en Cash. First, I wanted to thank you for 5,000 downloads. It's a really cool milestone and one that I wasn't expecting to hit until probably later in the summer. So the fact that I didn't start promoting the podcast until January and that it's April and we already hit 5,000 downloads is really, really cool. So thank you for tuning into the podcast and supporting. Today's episode, I'm going to focus on a very frequently asked question that I get asked, which is how can I start planning for my parents' retirement plan? I actually have a free guide on this and we'll talk about this later. But first, before digging into today's topic, I wanted to give a quick update on the book tour. I will be at the Downey City Library this Thursday, April 18th. The event starts at 6:30 and it's until 7:30 p.m. It's completely free. No registration is required. Just show up because there's limited capacity. So the capacity is, I think, 130 seats. So just show up early just to make sure that you get a seat. Books will not be sold at the event. So please bring your own book if you'd like me to sign your copy. You can order that in advance from your local bookstore or go to culturaencash.com to see all the online retailers where you can order the book from. Florida. We are still trying to figure out the venue for Florida, which is supposed to be in Fort Lauderdale, I believe on the 27th of April. It's a Saturday. So whatever that last Saturday is in April, we might have to end up moving it to Friday because we're kind of having a hard time securing a venue for that Saturday. It's just really, it came up really late. So it is hard to plan, but I will keep you posted here. All right. I think that's all the housekeeping. I will get right to our subject. So again, this topic was inspired by this frequently asked question, and I'll actually read you three questions about this that I got from my email list. And I usually have the time to respond back via email individually, and I love doing that. But because it's the same theme for all three, and because I'm on a book tour, I said, let me just make a podcast episode about this and I'll send this to the people who ask me questions. I also know my podcast listeners would benefit greatly from what I have to share here. So somebody asked, and I'm not sharing the names just because I didn't ask if I could share their names or not. So they're all anonymous. Somebody asked, my number one question about finances is mostly related to being your parents' retirement plan. I have a career, my own home, but I worry about my parents. They actually live with me, so that is a whole other level. The second question, again, a completely different person. How do I take care of my own well-being and finances while also wanting to be able to take care of my parents into old age? Background, I'm a first-gen college student, oldest daughter of immigrant parents who still live in Mexico. Oldest daughter, I'm expected to take care of them into old age. I'm paying back student loans. My parents never saved any money for retirement and have no financial plans for retirement, and this stresses me out. I hear you, girl. I hear you. The third person was asking, I need help helping my parents sign up for Medicare has been a lot to deal with. My main question has been, what is the best age time for my dad to start collecting his Social Security if he continues to work? So that third question is a little bit different. It's very Social Security specific, but the first two, again, the common theme of how can I help my parents plan for their retirement and feeling that stress of not only having to worry about your finances, but also extended family like your parents. Fortunately, I do have a free guide to share with my community. It's a PDF. How many pages is it? It's an 11-page PDF. It is value-packed, and it is called How to Talk to Your Parents About Retirement, Drama-Free y con Cariño. I will link it on the show notes so that you can download it for free. And what I'm going to do is, it's a 10-step guide. I'm going to go over the 10 steps at a high level, but I'm really going to dive into step 8 because I think that's what's going to be very beneficial for most folks. So again, first know that you're not alone. This is a common concern for children of immigrants because our parents came here with very little, right? So they came here for the opportunity to give us a better life. So it really is no surprise that our parents aren't set up financially. They probably had low-income jobs. They have no knowledge of the financial system. And they've worked very hard, but they didn't know or didn't have the means to plan for the future, right? They were just living in the present, trying to get by. So us, as first-generation professionals, feel the pressure, right, to have to help them in some way or another. But if you've read Cultura en Cash, you know that I believe in the quiero en puedo approach. So step one is you need to identify why you want to support your parents with their retirement. Is this something that is important to you? Is this something that they explicitly have told you, you need to take care of us and figure out how you're going to pay for this? Is it just kind of like the vibe you get because you just know that they don't have a lot of money and that they haven't planned for the future? Are you thinking about doing this because you want to or because you feel that you have to and you have no other way out? Is this motivation internal because, again, you want to on your own terms, or external? Like, you're kind of like, oh, I'm focusing on my own stuff and it's a lot of pressure to add more to my plate. Thinking about being there for your parents in their retirement financially, whether it's fully retiring them or helping with some expenses or not helping with any expenses at all, are all options that are up to you. Nobody should be guilting you into doing one thing or another. But if it's important to you to provide that support and be there for your parents, then there's some ways that you can go about that. Let's see. So step two, start the money talk. And this one's going to be a little tough because in our families, you know, money's very taboo. So we're not used to having money discussions. So the first time that you kind of bring up this topic, they might kind of be thrown off. Like, what? Why are we talking about money? You know, we usually talk about other things. So you kind of have to prime them and tell them, hey, mom and dad, maybe even before you visit them or see them in person or talk to them on the phone, letting them know that they're getting older, you're getting older, you're planning for your financial future, and that you want to take them into consideration when planning for the future. So you need to have open discussions with them about money. So again, prime them, give them a heads up, let them know that this is something you want to discuss. I mentioned in my PDF guide, I'm like, this is the sort of thing that you want to spring on them, what your prima's quinceañera. I'm like, so plan in advance, let them know, plant a seed, let them know that this is something that is important to you and you want to talk about it. But with that being said, do expect resistance because, again, talking about money is very taboo in our culture. Your parents might see it as a sign of disrespect, and that's okay. If they're not receptive to it the first time, just give them a little space. Ask them again to have the conversation a few weeks later. I wouldn't wait more than a few weeks. And if they keep being closed-minded and they don't want to talk about it, I would just say, hey, I'm trying to help you because I love you and I'm not going to be able to help you and be there for you in your old age if you're not able to collaborate with me and talk about this openly, right? So, again, you're doing it out of love because you want to be able to show up for them. And, again, this is not something you want to force down their throat. So be patient. Be patient. Just know that culturally we're not taught to talk about money, so that's why there will be some resistance. Once you've gotten them to the stage where, okay, let's talk about what's going to happen with retirement, ask them, what age do you plan to retire? And a common answer here from especially a lot of immigrant fathers is, oh, I'm not going to retire. I'm going to work till the day I die. And that answer isn't acceptable because, first of all, nobody wants to work till the day they die. People deserve a dignified retirement after working their whole lives, right? So that shouldn't be what they go to. And then also, what if you don't die? What if you instead have a disability where you're still very much alive, but you can no longer work and you still have living expenses, right? So there's a lot of things that can happen in the future. So again, this plan to work until I die is not really an option. So reject that immediately if your parents say that's not solid financial planning. We need to think about how we're actually going to make this happen, right, numbers-wise. Ask them where they plan to live. Do they have any way to support themselves or how do they plan to support themselves? Ask them if they do have any savings or any investments, any real estate, anything that they can count on for income outside of Social Security for retirement. And if they don't, that's fine. You just need to know where the starting point is. Ask them, are you going to need support from me and my siblings? If you have any siblings, are you counting on us? Because sometimes we assume that our parents need this help and they actually were already kind of planning. But again, because we don't talk about money, you had no idea. So sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to, oh my God, I have to figure this out for retirement. And sometimes you find out, oh, they actually had this going on and they already have a plan that they're going to move to this low cost area and they're going to be fine. So that's kind of like a nice surprise, right? That happens to be the case. Ask them, let's see here. Oh, if you're counting on financial support, can you commit to being open and transparent? Because again, this isn't going to work if your parents are just like, give me money, but they're not going to be transparent about the household bills, the income that's coming in, right? I think you get a right to see their financial picture when you are asked to provide support, because you can help cut down expenses. You can help generate more income if you have a clear picture of it all. And if they're not letting you in, then you're not fully able to help them to your best. Let's see here. Step four, once you've talked to them about what they plan to do for retirement, a good way to continue the conversation or to even start the conversation once they've agreed to talk about what they plan to do in retirement is to show them their Social Security payout. And this can be very eye-opening because a lot of our parents may think that Social Security may be enough to cover their retirement expenses, their living expenses while they're in retirement. But the truth is that Social Security was never intended to fully replace our income. I believe it was only intended to replace 40% of our income. So ask your parents, can you live off 40% of your income right now? Because that's all Social Security covers. And to answer the last question about when's the best time for my father to take his Social Security, I'll answer that right now because we're on the Social Security topic. Let me see here. The question again was, my main question has been, when is the best age time for my dad to start collecting his Social Security if he continues to work? So you can start collecting Social Security as early as age 62, although your benefits are reduced. This is what my mom plans to do, actually. And again, for her, it's not a smart financial decision because she doesn't have any other investments or savings outside of that. So she really should be waiting until she should work longer and wait until her full retirement age, which depends on what year your parents were born. I'm looking at the Social Security website. If your parents were born between 1943 and 1954, they get their full Social Security benefits at 66. If they were born after 1955, it starts going to like 66 and 2 months. It just starts getting really technical until any parents born after 1960. Anybody that's born after 1960, their full retirement age, according to the Social Security Administration, is 67. So the 67 means that that's how long they have to work to get their full Social Security benefits. And if you actually wait longer until 70, they'll actually pay you more. So again, the worst thing you can do is take it at 62 because you actually get a reduced payout. Let me see here. It's almost 30%. It can be between 25% to 30% less if you start taking Social Security early at the age of 62 before your full retirement age of 66 or 67. And then it doesn't say here how much more it is if you wait until 70, but I know it's more than what you're expected to get. So there is a free calculator on the Social Security Administration's website. It is in Spanish, so that's linked on this PDF for you to check out with your parents. Because again, it's pretty eye-opening if they think that they're going to be getting by just fine on Social Security money, only to find out, oh crap, we're only going to get $700 or we're only going to get $1,000 when their living expenses are $2,000, right? So it's a good way to kind of see what they're at, what they can expect. And then step five is getting clear on the numbers. So again, now you at least know how much they expect to get from Social Security. But now get clear on what their current income, what their expenses are. And this is going to take a lot of time, right? If you've created a budget for yourself, you know it takes time to get clear on where all the bodies are buried. So the reason that this is important is because since you're going to be helping them in the future, you want to make sure that they reduce their expenses as much as possible, right? So if there's any additional bills that they can get rid of. I know a couple years ago I was still paying for, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I was paying for a phone, like a phone line, because my internet company offered it. They're like, oh, for $30 you can have a phone line. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll have a phone line. We never use a stupid phone line. Everybody just uses their cell phone. This was a few years ago. It wasn't anytime. Yeah, it was probably in 2016. Yeah, that sounds right. So almost 10 years ago. But things like that, like that's something that I did not need to waste $30 on. And there's always ways to look into cutting back on expenses. So getting clear on their spending is really helpful. Also finding ways to increase their income, right? Whether they can sell some old items or if they are able to convert part of their home into a studio apartment. I know that's an investment, but it's a smart one. My family did that when we lived in El Centro. They converted the garage into a studio, and that was income, right? At the time, it was $500 a month. This is like 15, 20 years ago. And then my first apartment, graduating from college, was living in somebody's basement that was converted into a new studio. I know it sounds super depressing, like to live in somebody's basement, but it was actually really cute. They did a really good job of like making it light and airy, and it was like a nice little starting spot for me. So again, that was income for that household, right? Because they were able to convert or an extra room, right? Making a separate entrance, something like that. Just a way to look for additional income if they're not able to work a second job or something like that. And then step six, more on helping them reduce unnecessary costs, which can be like subscriptions and memberships that they don't really use. And I did want to acknowledge that some parents are truly living paycheck to paycheck and there is no more way to save. And all they can spend on is the basic necessities. And that's why I'm going to go deeper into step eight, because step eight is like when your parents literally are living in poverty and there is no way to save. What can you do as a first-gen professional to help them out? Something that would really help them save money would be relocating or downsizing. And this is something that I'm working through with my dad. My dad lives in Mexico. He owns his home. He inherited actually from my grandfather. Well, he inherited the property and then he built the house. So he's never had a mortgage, luckily, but he got that advantage of having that land in passed on to by my grandfather. And he built a 2-story house on it. And I think it's a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bathrooms. 3-bedroom, 1.5. There you go. 3-bedroom, 1.5 bathrooms home. And I tell him, you don't need all this space just to yourself. You don't need a place where you need to be going upstairs. As you're getting older, you need just a single floor. So it's something that every time I see him or talk to him, I'm constantly pushing him to make sure that he's making progress. And he's either looking to sell off the house, or I think now he's more excited about, again, sectioning it off and kind of making it into a duplex and him having the second part. So if that's an option, downsizing and being able to do that in your home. I mean, in Mexico, obviously the laws are very different, so he can just do whatever he wants. But even relocating to a different neighborhood could be much cheaper. Relocating to out of state. I know it's not ideal. I know people like living where they live, but especially if you're in California. I mean, living in California, it really is, honestly, for the rich now, it's just so expensive. And my in-laws actually had to move. They lived in northern San Diego. They lived in San Diego their whole life. And then they were renting a spot in northern San Diego, I think in Vista. No, not Vista. Escondido. Escondido. And then the landlord decided to sell. So they were going to have to look for a new place. And they looked at the market and everything was so much more expensive because they'd been so long at that place that they were renting at. So instead, they evaluated their finances and they said, we can't stay in California. We're not going to be able to live comfortably if we stay in Southern California. So they moved to Phoenix. And it was hard because they had to leave their church, their friends and family. But they live in a beautiful home in Phoenix, and they aren't as stressed about money. Where if they had stayed in California, it would be really, really hard. I know moving isn't an option for everybody, but if it is something that they can do, it will really cut down on their expenses, because typically your housing is your most expensive line item on your budget. So if that's an option, definitely something to consider. Step 7, if they do have the income themselves to be able to start aggressively investing into retirement accounts like a 401k or a 403b, educate them on what those are and how that money would be invested in the stock market. How once they are, I think it's if they're 50 years or older, they're going to qualify for catch-up contributions, so they can actually put more money into these tax-favored accounts. Talk to them about Roth IRAs. And then I have here, if they have a social security number or an ITIN, they can open one of these accounts at a brokerage firm that accepts an ITIN. I recommend Fidelity because I know that they're one of the brokers that accepts ITINs. And if they don't, step 8, what if they're on a limited income and can't improve their finances at all? Again, this is for the parents. If they are living in poverty, paycheck to paycheck, there is no more room to save, or they're not able to relocate, and everything else that I mentioned is not an option, then what you can do to help lessen the load for them are these things. You can pay for their health insurance. I mean, if they are very low income, they should be able to qualify for like something like Medicare, right? But if they are over the mark where they don't qualify for free health insurance, then what you can do is you can pick up that bill of paying for health insurance, because as they age, they're probably going to require more medical care. And health insurance in this country is expensive. So if you pay for their policy, then that's really going to help them cover these big expenses in retirement. Something else you could do is if they have credit card debt, you can focus on paying off the credit card debt for them, with the agreement being like no more credit cards, and because credit card debt is so expensive, and then that way they don't have this big bill that's going towards paying most interest. But again, the deal would have to be no more credit cards, right? I'm not paying this off for you to get back into credit. That has to be something that's a boundary. The other thing you can do is if they have a mortgage, you can make extra payments on their mortgage so they can pay off their home sooner. And the sooner that they pay it off, the sooner they don't have to worry about having this large mortgage payment. If these things aren't options, or you can do all these things at once, right? You can also create a line item for recurring support. So let's say that, again, your parents can't relocate, they can't downsize, they're not able to make any sort of catch-up contributions to a 401k or open up a Roth IRA to add money because they just don't have the means. Then at this point, you are your parents' retirement plan, right? So you have to come up with the means on how to do that. And if you've done the first question of asking yourself why, if you want to do this truly, porque te nace, because you want to do it on your own terms, get to look at your finances, right? And add your parents and their living expenses in retirement as a line item. So the same way that your housing, your transportation costs, your meals costs, utilities, there's a line item for that in your budget, you'd have to add a line item for the monthly allowance that you'll be giving your parents. And you have to be honest about, will you be able to cover their expenses fully in retirement? Will you be able to cover them 50%? Be honest about what kind of support you can provide. And don't be too hard on yourself if you can't fully retire them. Again, they really should be doing everything on their part once you start the discussions to really cut back, to downsize, to be able to save money, to not spend as much, to be able to have a less expensive retirement, right? And then if none of these are an option for you because you are still just very much trying to get your own finances together and you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole, Something that you can do for them that could really help would be build an emergency fund for them, because if they do have some sort of financial emergency and they need, let's say, $3,000 on the fly, instead of them charging it on a credit card and getting into credit card debt, you can provide that support, right? And be there for them. But again, you can try a mix of these things. You can try all these things. If you don't have the means to provide this support, don't feel the pressure to, because you got to put your own oxygen mask first. I talk a lot about this in my book, Cultura en Cash. And then once you're more financially stable, then you're able to give more freely to those that you love. So again, be compassionate and be patient. This is something that's going to take a long time to kind of plan through. It's not a one-time conversation. Step 9, share resources in Spanish in the PDF. I share una calculadora para planear tu futuro by the AARP. Then again, the Social Security Administration's website in Spanish and investor.gov in Spanish. You'll be able to access all those links by downloading the PDF guide. And sharing these financial resources in Spanish can just really help calm their nerves, because talking about money, again, it's taboo. It's something that's very foreign to them. And then to have this information given to them in their primary language just kind of helps ease those nerves. So that could be really helpful. And then 10th step is keep the love and patience going, because again, remember, this is not going to be a one-time conversation. So don't feel the pressure that you have to figure out how you're going to do this tomorrow. It's going to take years. It's going to take years. But the sooner that you start having these conversations, the easier it'll be. And this is something that I wish my aunts and uncles had done with my grandparents. My grandparents, my grandma's 80, my grandpa just turned 92, I think, 93. And they didn't have anything for retirement. So between the five adult children, these adult children are in their late 50s to almost 70s, they all had to pitch in every month, the five of them, to provide financial support for my grandparents. And they can barely swing it, which I think is a disgrace, because that there's five of them, right? So, And again, it was because they never took the initiative to talk to my grandparents and say, hey, what's the plan? My grandparents could have downsized. They live in a pretty big house. I think they've explored and they said it doesn't make sense. I still think they could have partitioned part of the house and rented it, but they didn't want to deal with tenants. Again, if you don't have the financial means to retire, you got to sacrifice some things, and maybe you sacrifice part of your space so that you can have tenants. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Let's see here. Keep the lines of communication open and celebrate wins along the way. Let's say that you get them to pay off their credit card debt or to build an emergency fund, treat them out to dinner or celebrate and cheer them on. And remember that you might not make it through all these steps, but as long as you make some progress on these 10 steps, that's better than no progress. So be flexible in your approach. Be patient with them, expect resistance, and expect to have this conversation regularly. I would say, honestly, if you really feel that you are your parents' retirement plan, you should be talking about this every 3 months. It might sound like a lot. This isn't the sort of thing that you want to talk about every time you see them, but definitely on a quarterly basis, if that seems like too much for you, at least every 6 months, so twice a year, just kind of check in on like, hey, how are we with the expenses? Can we cut back on this? Are you able to add money to a Roth IRA? Can I pay your health insurance bill so you don't have to worry about that, right? So be checking in, because, again, you don't want to pretend like nothing's going to happen and everything's going to work itself out in the end, because that's not how financial planning works. You have to take the bull by the horns, get your head out of the sand, and figure out a plan that not just works for them but also for you, right? But hopefully this was helpful. If you take the time to download the guide, I think that will be beneficial, because you'll be able to kind of digest this information on your own. I also have a video on this topic in my investing course. It's called Investing for First Gen Wealth Builders. You can access it by going to my website, thefirstgenmentor.com. It's actually a bonus video. So I believe it's 20 minutes. It covers a lot of these topics, but if you receive information better in a video format, that might be worth checking out. But again, please access this free resource. Again, the link will be in my show notes, and I just know it's going to be helpful because it's going to be at least some place to get started with this big topic that can be so overwhelming and foreign to a lot of us. I hope this is helpful. Last thing before we wrap up here, I am having Janice from Yo Quiero Dinero on the podcast. She's going to come on to talk all about her book, Financially Lit. It's coming out on April 30th. I'm so excited for her to come on and especially to be the first guest. So that'll be fun to have a conversation, and it's just not like a monologue of me. Please DM me if you have any questions that you want me to ask her. I definitely plan to ask her about ways to make passive income, ways to make more streams of income, because she has a lot of streams of income, and that's something that I really admire about her as a businesswoman. Asking her about her blog, asking her all about her book. So if you have any other topics that you're curious to learn about her, please message me on Instagram or message me on LinkedIn. And that's it for today's episode. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, and see you next Money Monday.